Answer prayer for us. We want to continue to remember Sister Vicki Tidwell in our prayers. I think she is doing better. Her blood pressure went back up and she is feeling much better, but they're supposed to be doing some kind of bone marrow test on her today. So just remember her in prayer. The Lord will just be with her. And also Sister Audrey and Sister Abby's not feeling well tonight, so we want to remember them in our prayers as well. And I'm sure there's other needs. If you just make those known by an uplifted hand, God sees our needs tonight and knows what we have need of in this service. Brother George, if you would tonight come and pray for these requests tonight.
Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, it is a privilege to come to you tonight, Lord. And Father, it is... Lord, we just lift up these requests, Sister Vicki and Sister Audrey, Sister Abby, Lord. You just know all about it, Lord. And Father, Lord, they can't be no more healed than they already are. You've already done it for us, Lord. We just pray that you'd, Lord, just pick them up to receive it tonight, Lord. And we trust that you will. And Father, we just ask you that you just bless this service tonight, Lord. The congregation that's gathered here, Lord, we just pray you'd meet each need that's represented here, Lord, the spoken and the unspoken. We pray for the musicians, Lord. We pray for Brother Mark, Lord. You'd put the songs on his heart, Lord, to just to sing the anointed songs to us tonight, Lord, to get us in the Spirit of God. And we just pray, Lord, for Brother Jonathan, Lord, as he ministers the word tonight, Lord. Lord, just ask that you'd, Lord, give him the words to say, Lord, to encourage the bride of Jesus Christ tonight, Lord. And when we leave this place tonight, Lord, may we leave better because we've come to the house of the Lord. We've been in the presence of God and we received the word of God. And we ask you, Lord, that you just bless us all together now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. And the church says, amen.
Don't it feel good to be in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night to worship the Lord again tonight? Amen. I'm inviting him. I love to see all the people here, but I want him to be here. I just pray each and every service, Lord, I just invite your presence, because without your presence, I can do nothing. I'm just a tingling cymbal or sounding brass without God, and I just pray he'll be with us here in the service tonight. Let's sing this A-flat. I believe it is. A-flat. Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land of sad and alone, fill my way every day with love. Lord, fill my way every day with your love. close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Lord, keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. All the way to the shore and fill my way every day with love. Lord, fill my way every day with your love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with the and what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness and what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, yes, we're leaning. Oh, I'm safe and secure from thankful that you're leaning on those everlasting, everlasting arms. What have we to dread? What have we to fear? Because we're leaning on those everlasting arms. Amen. Let's sing and give seat. Oh, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. All in the mansions bright. Oh, when we all get to heaven. done. What a day, day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We're gonna sing and shout victory. So let us then be true and faithful, trust in serving every day with just one glimpse of heaven glory. Oh, will the tolls of life repay now when we all get to heaven? Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We're gonna sing and shout victory. Now onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold, and soon those pearly gates will open, and we shall tread the streets of gold. I know it says when we all see Jesus, but if you just look around, you'll see Him tonight. We can sing and shout the victory right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this B-flat. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all of the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, oh, and I hear the sent Him to die. scarce can take it in. On the cross, my burdens, all that on the cross, my burden gladly bear. Seats tonight. We'll have our ushers to come if they would and receive the evening offering. I think we have a couple of birthdays. One today, Brother George Moore is celebrating his birthday. He's still a young fella, but he's still having birthdays. And also, I think Sister Megan Gibbons is celebrating her birthday on Saturday. So if she's viewing tonight, we want to wish her a happy birthday. Let's give them a hand tonight, if you will. Trials here are sometimes many, and oft times my feet grow weary, till it seems that I almost stumble, then I fall. That keeps me steady. Oh, and I know that I'm gonna make it after all. Let's sing it together now. Oh, after all of this life. God has got in store for his bride. It'll give you faith that you can make it after all. And heaven will be worth the journey. I was riding down the road on the way to church tonight, and we was in two lanes where it merges down to one. I just kind of slowed up a little bit, and I said, "We need to let this person over." And Kelly says, "You don't ever do that." It kind of made me feel bad. I said, "Really? I don't do that?" She said, "No, you always hurry and get around them." I said, "Oh, Lord, give me patience and help me." You know, the world is so short-tempered and so on the edge and touchy about every little thing. And I was just telling her, I said, "It's not what the people do. It's what we do, and what we're responsible for is what I do." And I said, "Lord, just help me to have." She said, "Any other time you have the patience of Job, but on the road, you make me nervous." I said, "Well, Lord, just help me. Just help me. I'm going to try to have more courtesy and back off and let them go first and whatever, but just pray God will give me grace and help me to be an overcomer. I want to be an overcomer tonight. Amen. I want to sing this chorus, but I don't know if the girls feel like singing tonight. Caden and Emma, I know you're just close to delivery, girl. I don't want to put you under pressure, but I'd like for you to come if you will. Let's just sing this chorus while she's getting ready. And I think it's in the key of that. Oh, he is coming soon. He's coming soon, and with joy we'll welcome his returning. It may be. Soon. Aren't you thankful that he's coming soon? Oh. that tonight. All we have to do is just look around. We know he's coming soon. Praise the Lord, Caden. Sister Emma, come right ahead tonight. Brother Matt and Sister Wanda and myself, we got a song coming soon. Handwriting's on the Wall. Amen. It's going to be a good one. Attention.
Amen.
As your cries out to him, and he hears our prayers, no matter how much Satan tries to make us think he don't. God hears, and the answer's on the way. This I know, the song says. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will, tonight as we let our pastor, Brother Jonathan, to speak for us tonight. How many He's looking for something good from the Lord tonight. Amen. He's got it for us. If we come expecting, we'll go home. We'll go home with it and receive it tonight. Amen. Let's sing. Keep G.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad.
With me one more time.
Oh, I'm glad I'm yours, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I'm so glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy. Oh, so glad your mercy has followed me. So
what a mess we would all be in if he wouldn't have reached down and plucked us and said, you're mine. Amen. Appreciate Brother Mark, musicians. Amen. You don't realize what it's like until you don't have a good song leader and musician to set the platform for you. And when you don't have it, you really want it. So surely appreciate them. Appreciate being able to speak. Brother Joseph asking me. Appreciate being here. So like I told Pat, I said, hey, I need a Wednesday night service. I'm not in a perfected body yet. I get the cares of the life on me. I get the struggles on me. I go through fights. I need Wednesday nights. So I'm thankful that we're here worshiping God. If you got your scripture, we'll turn to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, we'll start reading verse 9, reading down. Little thought, I put the sound booth to the test tonight, so I sent my notes in at 6:59. So we kind of had a change of direction this evening and a little thought on my heart today. So if we could title it, we'd title it, When Growth Stops, Death Sets In. 1965, Things That Are To Be, Brother Brennan makes a comment like this. He says, therefore, if you're tonight, just come say, I offer Jesus Christ my life. And you've never received the Holy Ghost, come on into it. You must do it. You must grow into it. Ask God to pile word on top of word like that until you become the full stature of a son of God or a daughter of God. We must grow into it. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, reading down, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is the long suffering towards usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and which that are in the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works and therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in the holy conversation and good godliness? Looking for and hasting into the company of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, believest, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace without spot, and blameless. an account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also as the epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which that are unlearned and unstable with. And they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. But ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege, Lord, to be able to gather, Lord, and invite your presence down, Lord. What a privilege to know that when we invite you, you're always on the scene. Your scripture would say, where two or three gather in thy name, you'll be there. Lord, your presence is here tonight. Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, to lead the way, Lord. Use this vessel, Lord. Allow me the ability to step aside, Lord, that you could speak to your servants. You could speak to your bride tonight, Lord. As a warning, Lord, as an encouragement, Lord, that we must continue to run this race, Lord, and not fall away. Lord, be with us, Lord. I yield my vessel to thee in thy lovely name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. My thought tonight is I just couldn't escape this today, and I think it's a simple thought, and I'm a simple person, and it encourages me. But I thought as we read this, you know, we started in the first verse, and it said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You know, so many times in the day that we live in, that's one of the biggest fights the devil gives in your life. He tries to attack you to every promise that God's made unto you. He tries to attack you and tell you that God's not the God that he used to be, that he doesn't continually give healing like he has in the past. But we know the same God of yesterday is the same God of today and the same God of tomorrow. And we're looking at a time that the world is falling apart. We're looking at an end time that we're waiting on the bride of Christ to recognize and step up and come into that full maturity. And we're living in a time that it's so easy to be set ourselves down and be going. We see others falling away all over the place. But I see in Romans 1, I want to read this too, as far as Romans 1 verse 15. As they would look at Paul, and as Paul would speak of himself, he would say, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. For they that are in Rome also, what is he doing? He said, not only am I ready to preach it, but I'm ready to live it before you. Amen. I'm coming to a point in my life that all of the message is the truth. All of what our prophet has brought us to is the truth. But without someone to manifest it, without someone to grow into it, it is all for naught. If Jesus Christ come hung on the cross and no one received healing, it was for naught. If no one received salvation, it is for naught. We're living in an age where all the mysteries have been revealed. We're living in an age to where all revelation is piled upon us. Listen to how God is speaking to us in each service. But if someone doesn't grow into that, it is for naught. If there isn't a bride, then there's going to be a bride. But if there isn't, then it's all for naught. He says, I am ready to preach. I am ready to live the gospel. I am ready to manifest what God has shown me. I am ready to stand on the word of God. I am ready to be an example of a God in this day. Little bride, we're standing here ready to be an example, ready to preach the word, ready to live the word. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Little children, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We grew to a point in this message that, you know what? If we, as the title would say, if growth stops, death begins to set in. If we don't continue to move on with God, then God is going to leave us and move on with his bride. He says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. It is for the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Little children, we're living in a day that everybody wants to turn back on the message and the messenger. Everybody wants to turn back on the scripture and allow everything to come into our lives, everything to come into the church. But I want to stand, as Paul said, and I have grown to this knowledge that I am not ashamed of this message. He said, for the salvation that everyone would believe it, to the Jew first and also the Greek. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Look, we don't have to have an answer for every question. See, we live in a time that that's what people of other disciples, of other denominations, that's what people even in the message want to attack you as a message believer. Well, if you don't understand this, you're really not message. Well, that's not message. Because you don't have to understand everything. You must believe it by faith. You must believe God sent a prophet in this day. You must believe that prophet is bringing rapturing faith. But you don't get there overnight. So many people want to come to an altar and get born again and have all the revelations. It may take you your lifespan to get the revelations that the one setting you beside. But you're growing in His grace and knowledge. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. But if God has showed it unto them, where is the life behind that? Where are we going to leave? We must continue to grow year after year, day after day. I want to wake up every morning and grow in His Word. I want to wake up every day and grow in His Spirit. I want to never cease to grow. You know, we look at plant life. We look at human life. We look, you know, let's just be honest. We look in, I'm past the perfection age of growing human being. Your cells begin to die. After a certain age, you begin to die. You may still be alive, but your body is dying every day. Your hair is falling out. It's turning gray. You're getting wrinkles. You're beginning to die, but yet you're still alive. God, let us shake ourselves to see there's people living in message churches that are dying and walking back on God, but yet they're still alive and standing before us. What is it? We've heard it said. So many times in our lives, I remember growing up, it seems like we heard it all the time. I used to get tired of hearing it. But you know what? It's the truth. You're not ever going to come to church and not either get closer or further away from God. You can't be still. You're either going to grow in Him or you're going to die in Him. Every day of your life, every time you get up and read the Scripture, every time you get up to say a prayer, you're going to grow or you're going to die. In every aspect. Being stagnant. I read this. Looking up definitions, because I'm not smart, but I'm looking up definitions. And being stagnant is a lie that keeps you comfortable when you're not growing. You ever see people that, you know what, they just don't feel like they're growing and they want to say, well, I'm just holding serve. No, you're not holding serve. You're either growing or you're dying. If you're not growing in His Word, if you're not learning in His Word, if God's not revealing things to you, then you're beginning to die on His Word. Got to wake up every day. Why did the prophet tell us time and time again? You want to get closer to Him, read your Bible and pray. Amen. It's really simple. And when you don't do it, I know from experience, when you don't do it, you begin to fall away from His Word. You begin to fall a separation between you and Him because you're not growing. You're beginning to die. Nothing in nature can stay stagnant. You take a corn and you plant it in the ground. And that corn seed busts open and gives life. And it begins to grow and it comes up to raise a crop of corn. That corn, once it gets to its full life manifestation, it begins to die. Once it puts the corn on the cob, and once that corn comes up out of that cob and the corn becomes ripe, and it becomes a manifestation, then the plant begins to die and fade away. Why? Because it has served its purpose. It has brought the corn for you to eat. It has brought the food, the nutrition for you to have. But as a child of God, spiritually speaking, if you're not growing, you're beginning to die. The same is true with us. If we stop growing, you start out. I like this one fellow, he made a statement. He says, when you stop growing intellectually, creatively, professionally, spiritually, or in any other life, that area immediately begins to die. And you know what? Just because you're going to church don't mean you're growing. You got to be a part of the church. You got to get behind the pastor. You got to get behind the singer. You got to say amen to the Word of God. You got to say oh my to the Word of God sometimes. You got to say, God, that's talking about me. That's wanting me to get a little closer to Him. Oh my. Growth is a process of increasing, a process of increasing. Some of us have been growing for years And God's bringing us to that perfect body. God's bringing us to a place. But you know, we're not going to reach it on this side, but there's another side coming. We've got one waiting for us that we're growing into. Death is a decreasing growth. Well, there's growth stages in life. You know, I heard this on the radio, and it just thrilled me, and that's kind of where this come from. But this guy was talking about perfection, and he made a comment. He said, when your five-year-old runs in with a coloring paper, and they drawed on it, and they colored on it, and it just looks like a bunch of slop. But you pick it up, and you look at it, and you look at that child, and you go, that's perfect. Is that perfect? For a five-year-old, it's perfect. For a five-year-old, it's as perfect as can be. But for a 15-year-old, it's slop. Because they're growing in their ability. God help us to see that there's people that's been in the message for 30 years and they're still coloring like a five-year-old. Because they're not growing in the Word. They're not listening to what the Word is telling them. They're not listening to what the prophet is giving them. They're not listening to what their pastor is telling them. And they're not growing in the Word of God. Why is it so hard for the pastor to come out and he drives at such a point that he just can't hardly get over that point because somebody's not accepting it so that they will grow and move on? Why? God help us that we're not there, but we need to understand that this is the spirit of the day that we're living in. We're living in a day that they've turned their back on God. They've turned their back on this message. They've come up with every other thing. They've come up with tape churches. They've come up with, listen to this man, listen to this. Do it this way. Do it this way. Get rid of the pastor. What other? They're dying in the Word of God. They've missed the very meaning of what the Word is. And the Word is to bring a bride together, to go into a rapture together. It's not waiting on a man to come down and tell you what you need to do. No, the Holy Spirit is here to tell us what we need to do. We need to grow to a point that each and every single one of us can hear that still small voice, that can hear that Holy Spirit speak to us, that we can be guided by Him, amen, that we can move with Him. What is it? Oh, it may be good for a five-year-old, but not a 15-year-old. Help us. Oh, God, help us see that in the start of all of us, we must first recognize we need a Savior. We go back to ABCs. Remember, Brother Branham said, they said, oh, we want you to preach Revelation. He said, how can I teach you algebra when you don't know ABCs? You know what? We need to get to a place that we have to recognize we need a Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, none of this is possible. This is what the message is built upon, is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole message, this whole plan of God that God has constructed down through the ages, that God has put together. Look, it is all a growth plan in the Spirit of God. Paul didn't come preaching, rapturing faith. He had to come to teach what they could hear and grow from. They went through the reformers. What did they do? They began to bring them up a little higher. They began to bring them a little closer to God. We look at some of their lives and we go, how was he a reformer? How was he a prophet? Because for the Word for his day, he was bringing the Word for his day. But we're living in the last day. We can't go back to the light of another age. We can't go back to the light of another day. Why? Because the fullness of the light is upon the bride. We're growing into a point of maturity. What is it? You know what? We begin to grow and we begin to color better. We begin to draw better. We begin to live better. Things begin to fall off. Look, speaking from my example, I can look at my life and I can see the day that God touched me. I can see the day that I truly repented before God. I can see the day that He gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But oh God, I'm not the same person I was then. God has brought me from that and has built word upon top of word, revelation upon top of revelation, and brought me to a point that I can accept what He's saying. And just because someone else is not at your height, don't give us the right to make fun of them. Come on, church. We look around so many times and we want to go, well, they don't even understand the horse riders. Well, there was one day you didn't understand the horse riders. But somebody reached out and began to help you, began to pray with you, began to show you in the Word. And God opened your eyes that you could see the revelation for this day. And if you're already there, God, help us to be witnesses to each other. Help us to show the same God that can open my eyes is the same God that can open your eyes. What is it? Jesus, throughout the Scripture, He would teach in parables. He would teach in parables for us to see and them to not see. Thank God we can see that Savior. What is it? Jesus said, you must be born again. There is no other way. You know what? We're living in a day that everybody wants to write a rule on how to be saved. There's only one way to be saved, and that's to die. To die to who you are. To come before an altar. Peter would say, repent. To truly repent and lay at an altar before God and say, God, I don't want to live this way anymore. God, I'm sorry for all that I've done. Be like the prodigal son that woke up in the stench of the world and realized, I don't have to be like this. There's something that is inside of me calling me to come up a little higher. What did Paul and Peter in Acts, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive. What is it? This is how your Christian life starts. But it doesn't end there. It begins a growth process. If it ended there, it would all be for naught. The messenger of the seventh day, William Branham, would be for naught. Because we knew we had to be born again. We knew that we had to come to an altar and repent and be baptized. We knew these things. But yet God wants to take us higher. And we're living in a day that he wants to take us even higher than what we already are. He's not happy with the area that we're in. You don't think you're happy. He's not happy with what his bride's going through. He's not satisfied with the everyday life that we go through. He's trying to get us to recognize there's a higher calling for us. Not for your growth to stop and for you to die. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 13. The scripture says, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. Oh my, could we say that we know in part, so we live in part? You remember in our Christian lives, looking back at your lives, I always like a little saying I try to say every now and then. You know what? If you don't think God's moving, look at where you come from. If you don't think you're growing, look at where you come from. You can look back a month. You can look back a year. You can look back 5 years. You can look back 10 years. You can look back a day, and you can see God moving in your life. You can see you wanting that patience, Brother Mark. Why? Because there's something driving, and I need it too. But there's something driving in you to be closer to God, to be more like Christ, to be a willing vessel, to be forgiving for all those around you, to give grace everywhere that grace is needed, to give mercy like God gave it to me. There's something in you drawing you to be closer to him, drawing you to be more like him. He says, that which is perfect is come. Then that which is in part shall be done away with. And when I become a man, I put away child. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Look, let's just be honest. What we see in the message is a bunch of children. A little bunch of bratty, rotty nosed, snotty nosed children running around arguing about things in youth camps and everything else, and they're not maturing in the Word of God. The reason they leave the message is because the message was never in them. The reason they leave the gospel is because the gospel was never in them. What was it when Jesus was up on the mount and Jesus began to preach to the multitude? And he then would get say, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And the scripture says multitudes turned and walked away. Why? Because there was nothing in them that could relate to what he was saying. You leave the message because there's nothing in you that can relate to what the prophet is saying. But if there's something there, you're going to grow in it every day of your life. I'm going to accept it as truth. And I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. But when face to face, now I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. Oh, help us to see, what has this message done? You say, oh, this message has split the world up. This message has split the believers up. No, it's not. It's pruning the unbeliever away from the believer. This message is cutting, like the scripture is a two-edged sword. This message is cutting it down to the bride. God don't want a foolish virgin as his bride. God don't want a denomination church member as his bride. God don't want a message believer as his bride. He wants his bride as his bride. That's the only one he's looking at. He's looking at his bride and he's saying, what must I do to separate her from the world? Brother Brenham says, quoting scripture, that a church was called out of a church. But then he said, there's a bride called out of that church. This message come out of denomination. We had to get away from the denominational thinking. We had to get away from the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecost. But when we got inside the message, there was still Pentecostal Baptist beliefs inside of it. But yet God said, you're a little closer. I've brought you a little higher. But there's another one inside of you. That's the bride of Christ that I'm drawing out of that message. Look, what is it? It has brought a perfect word. And it's brought it to fruition in our lives. Look, we wouldn't be who we are without this message. You know, it makes me sick when I hear people saying, well, I loved God before this message. You know, I'm sure you did. But if you accepted the message, you've grown in it. You ain't what you used to be. If you are, then you're a dead man. Because this message opened their eyes to this scripture. There's things in this Bible that could not be understood until God sent a man to open the scripture and explain to us what the revelation of that was. You know, I always refer back to it as simple as it is. Brother Brennan makes a comment. He says the Godhead and baptism should be able to be saw without a revelation. He said, but it can't. You have to have a revelation for it. And we're living in a day that everybody thinks they can become theologians. What happened to every church through the church ages? They become theologians that come up. They got smarter than the prophet. And they begin to explain things better than the prophet. And people begin to fall away from what that prophet stood for. But what are we living in today? We've got message theologians that they think they know the message more than the prophet knew the message. And they're splitting people away and killing them. Spiritually, when they drag you out away from the word, they're killing you. Anything that's contrary to this word from the beginning to the end is contrary to God. And if they overstep the words, you ever notice, you know what they do? They begin to leave things out. They like the New English Version better than the King James Version. Why? Because it leaves out the scriptures. Well, Jesus says, I am God. Me and him are one. Because they can't explain that without a prophet. They can't explain that without a prophet to open that revelation and reveal to us and for us to grow in his likeness. Amen. But they're living in a day that we're doing the same thing today as they did through every church age, and they're distracting men's mind and they're putting them to look at a man, look at a theologian, look at somebody that's got it all figured out, and they're not looking and listening to the Holy Ghost anymore. What did Jesus say? And I got the scripture. I'm getting ahead of myself. But what did Jesus say when it come time for him to depart? He says, I will not be with you, but I will send the Comforter to you. I will send the Holy Ghost to you. He will be to guide you. He will be to teach you. He will be to lead you. If God would have wanted, if Jesus Christ would have wanted another man to do it, he would have called that man by name and told you he was sending him for you. But he didn't. He said, I send you the Holy Spirit because it will lead you in all truth. It will guide you in all truth. It will cause you to grow in the anointing of God. Amen. Mysteries have been revealed. The word has been opened to us. You know, it just gets me, you know, because everybody says it and it's true. But since I read the message, since I listened to the tapes, the Bible become a new book. Why did it become a new book? Because I had the food. I had the manna that God was providing. And I began to grow in revelation. I began to grow in understanding. And it became a new book to me. And it's an individual affair. You can't ride on your daddy's coattail. We've heard it all of our lives. You ain't going to make it in on your daddy's coattail. It's true. You ain't going to make it in because your daddy's a preacher. It's true. You ain't going to make it in because your daddy opened the church. It's true. What has God done for you individually? What even Jesus in Luke 2? We find the story of Jesus. Remember the story of Jesus, 12 years old. They left him at the temple. They leave him and walk off and leave him, which I don't see how a mother and father leaves their child. But God ordains everything to its place. And you know what? They walk off and leave him, and he begins to teach. And he begins to show them more than they know. Come on. He begins to explain to them at 12 years old, there's more to this scripture than you think. He opens the scripture and says, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. It baffled them because they wasn't into that age. They hadn't grown to that place. But you know what? It caused some of them to go back and read the scroll. It caused some of them, like it caused some of us, to go back and read the message. It caused some of us to go back and say, if that's what he's talking about, then I've got some growing to do. He's calling them right out. What he said, Jesus says, and they come back to him. They said, you know what, where have you been? He says, why have you sought me? I was about my Father's business. What was he doing? Teaching. Teaching the Word of God. And then in verse, down in the bottom of the chapter, verse 52, says Jesus increased or grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. How can it be that he must grow too? What about us? What about us? Look, I see so many young people, and I know I love the young people, and I don't hammer on them, but you know what? I see too many young people run to altars, and they think it's over. No, the battle's just started. You've just begun. You was just birthed. You was just birthed at an altar before Christ. Now you have to start growing in him. Now you have to start feeding your soul. Now you have to start reading the word more than you've ever read it. Now you must start praying more than you've ever prayed. Now you must start listening to the tapes more than you've ever listened to them. Because now is when the enemy's going to try to distract you. And then he tries to distract you at the end of your life. When you get to a place that you think you've grown all you can grow. That ain't nothing but the devil trying to keep you from growing a little more. Mama told me years ago, said a day gone by that you didn't learn something's a day wasted. Spiritually speaking, it's the same way. If we don't get closer to God every day, it's a day that we wasted. No wonder the prophet at 55 years old would turn around and say, if I'm ever going to do something for God, I better do it now. Why? Because he could look at his life. He could look at his individual life and know he hadn't done enough. What about you and I? We need to grow increasingly every day. What about all the characters in the Bible? We can look at each and every one of them. And we're not going to look at all of them. We ain't got time. But we can look and we can find one of my favorite that I deal with at the youth is the three Hebrew children, the three youth that would not bow to the image. That didn't just happen overnight, people. We forget the very essence of the story, and we just look at the focal point of, oh, how brave they must have been that on that day they didn't bow. But there was many days before that they wasn't sure what they would have done. There's many days before that they battled with self-reasoning. They battled with self-doubt. They battled with the enemy on their mind. But what did they do? They kept tuning in to the prophet Daniel and listening to what he was saying. They kept tuning in to the messages that the prophet was bringing them. And it began something inside of them to grow them to a point that they could stand for him. What is it going to take in this day? It's going to take a bride that's willing to listen to what their prophet is saying, that's willing to listen to what the scripture is telling them and grow every day from it to be able to stand at the end. He said, then Jesus came. In John 1, the scripture said the Word was God, with God, became flesh, walked amongst us. But then when Jesus knew his time was up, he gave that promise of the Holy Ghost. What did he do? He says, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to leave something in place that can continue to teach you, that continue to grow you in the Word of God, continue to bring you to a place. Brother Brennan makes a comment, and I think I used it here a while back, and he makes a comment, and he says, I may not have the faith to walk out of here like Enoch did. He said, but I won't stop somebody that does have that faith. Children of God, I may not know as much as you know. You may know something more than me, but I'm not going to stand in your way to not see God bless you for what you know. I want to learn. I want to grow in him. What is it? Oh my, Hebrews 6. I wrote it, jotted it down. I didn't give it to them. Hebrews 6, scripture reads, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection. See, we get all this perfection all mixed up. We get this perfection mixed up. Brother George, we think we got to walk with our tie just perfect. We got to have our hair just right. We got to live such a holy life that they can't even put the law on us. That ain't perfection. Perfection, as the scripture speaking of here, is maturity. It's growth to maturity. It's coming to a place that you're not a five-year-old scribbling on a piece of paper no more. But now you're taking the Word of God and you're manifesting it before you. Now every day in your life, when you make a mistake, you're calling out on His name, saying, God, I'm sorry. You know that's not what the real me wanted. He's let us go on into perfection. Not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And thus we will, if God permits. Come on, what is it? If we're not careful, we do the same thing the denominations do. And they go back to their pet doctrine, and they stand on their pet doctrine. Come on. What does the denominations do? They stand on John the Baptist. They stand on Martin Luther. They stand on what he said. You go to a Pentecostal church and all they preached was baptism, 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 baptism. You go to a one God church, it's baptism in Jesus' name, baptism in Jesus' name. If we're not careful, we quit growing in the message and all we do is try to preach one doctrine. And we leave the rest of the Word away. But it's the full Word of God that brings us to maturity. You're not going to, I love a steak, but if a steak's all I ever eat, it's not going to do my body good. It needs some vegetables every now and then. You've got to have the whole Word of God. You can't have just the prophet. You can't have just the pastor. You've got to have the full fivefold ministry. You've got to eat from each particular course because each one of them has something for you. People won't come to church if the pastor ain't preaching. They in trouble. Because if it's the same Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost has got something for each and every one of you. It don't matter who's preaching. They're looking for something. What is it? In Romans 12, Scripture says, and be not conformed into this world. Look, church, that's what's happening around the message. That's what's happening around our families. That's what's happening to us if we allow it. We become so used to this world. We become so desensitized to everything. Look, I've been there. I'm speaking for myself. We become so desensitized to every noise the world makes that we just blend right in with them. It ought to make us sick at our stomach when we hear the God, Lord's name in vain. It don't matter if you're at work. It don't matter if you're watching your show. It don't matter what you're doing. When you hear the Lord's name taken in vain, it ought to turn something inside of you. We shouldn't become so desensitized to it that we don't realize that that is a sin of the devil. What we're living in today says, be not conformed into this world, Romans 12:2. He says, but yet be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is it? He's looking for maturity. He's looking for that without spot, without wrinkle. He's looking for that not in a physical sense, but in a sense that we've grown to that level with Him. He's looking at that sense that we can get to a place that somebody can come out and they can preach or something and you go, that ain't nothing but the truth. Why? Because I heard it in my car on the way to church. Because I listened to the same tape this week as the pastor did. Not because he told me, but because the Holy Spirit led me to listen to that tape and prepare me for the sermon. Why? Listening to Him. Finding that perfect way. In Colossians 3, we find in Colossians 3, he says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You know something, and this ain't even my point. This ain't why I was reading the Scripture. But it's something to me that we have people wondering around how we should live when the Scripture tells us how we should live. It explains to us in detail, but what is it? If you're not growing in Him, you're not able to accept this test. You're not able to accept this lesson because you're not there yet. What is it? It's His humbleness and mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Why is it so hard to forgive one another? Look, when I do something wrong, I ask everybody to forgive me. But when that person talks bad about me, it's hard for me to forgive them. Just be honest. It's okay. We're all human in here. There ain't no angels. What is it? We must learn to forgive others as Christ forgave us. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectionists. No wonder in the early days of our prophet's message, before God opened his eyes and revealed to him, he thought perfect love was the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Because the scripture shows us this is the bond of perfectionists, to love one another. The scripture says, love one another as you love Christ. Help us to love one another. He said, all these things are charity, which is a perfect bond of perfectionists. He said, and let peace of God rule in your hearts. You want peace in your hearts. Draw closer to him, to which also you are called in one body, and to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, in all teaching, in all admonishing of one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts be to the Lord. What is he saying? In everything you do, grow in him. Worship today more than you worshiped yesterday. Allow the song leader to get you to speak a little louder when you sing with him than you did the last service. You know, we ought to come to a place, and I'm not throwing this up because there's days I come and I'm not in a good mood. But you know what? We ought to come to the place that when we gather as a congregation to worship God, we can put everything that beset us aside. Because we're all in this building and we've shut the world out. We've all come together right here, and we all are here on one accord because we had a desire to come to church. We had a desire to come worship God. We had a desire to come learn more of him. We had a desire to come grow more with him and be able to worship like we never worshiped. Look, I'm not going to judge you. If you run down the aisle, I might run with you. Come on. People, young people tell me, they say, man, I almost run. Well, why didn't you? Well, I was afraid of what sister, I ain't worried about what sister so-and-so says. The Holy Spirit strikes you, you need to worship. Right. If the Holy Spirit strikes you, run. If the Holy Spirit strikes you, jump up and down. Do whatever God's laid on your heart. Let him have control of your vessel. And let's worship him like we've never worshiped him. Let's go to a place that when we come together, we're not looking at each other's faults. We're not looking to try to become perfect in these human eyes. But we're looking, look, we're growing in him. Look at the messages coming forth as they begin to grow us closer to the image of perfection. They begin to get us to a place, look, it's not just the little things. It's not just the little doctrines. It's all things of the scripture. It's all things of the Bible. What is it? He said, let that word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom, in all teaching, admonishing of one another, in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know when you can do that? When you come to maturity. Look, it's hard to worship God when you're fighting your own battles. You're too busy trying to hold the devil off. You're too busy trying to control your thoughts. You're too busy trying to protect what somebody else is thinking about you. But if you just let go and say, God, here I am to worship you. God, I can't live this life. God, I can't line up to this, God. God, I can't control what everybody else says. It's like I always tell my kids, and we got a quote for that too, but I always tell my kids, says, it's not the action that concerns me. It's the reaction that you have towards that action. Because you can't control what others do to you. You can't control what the world does to you. You can't control what the devil does to you. But you can control how you react. You can control that, you know what? When everybody speaks evil, I'm going to go to church anyway. When my body don't feel good, I'm going to go to church anyway. When I'm tired, I'm going to go to church anyway. When I don't know if anybody loves me, I'm going to church anyway. Because I can control that. And that's the best place. Sitting right over there is the best place I can get a touch from him. That's the best place. Perfectionist is maturity. Full development of growth comes into full development of maturity unto perfection. Not a sinless or a faultless perfection, but a maturity. Realizing who you are and your growth has become one with him. Remember Abraham, he had all his faults. The man failed so many times. We go back to the Old Testament and read the story of Abraham, and every time he turned around, he was doing something wrong. Look, God promised him a son, and he went another way. He wanted to do it his way. They go into a barren land, and he tells the king, that's my sister. Come on. Every time you turned around, he was doing something that wasn't exactly right. What does the devil do with us? I wish sometimes we could just really go home and let before God and really look at our own personal lives. Because it really encourages us to know, it really encourages me to know that Abraham fought these battles too. How many times have we done something we go, well, that wasn't exactly a lie. That was Abraham. It wasn't exactly a lie. It was his sister, but it was also his wife. Let's tell the full truth. But yet the Bible goes on and says he walked before God in a perfect stature without fault, staggered not at the word of God. You mean that man that lied to the king. I mean that man that lied to the king. Because we're not looking at sinless perfection. We're looking at a maturity. Amen. He grew from it. Yes. You mean me. You mean you. You mean us that have faults in our lives can be that way. Absolutely, that's what I mean. Because we're growing to a stage of maturity. Amen. What is it, the Bible in 2 Timothy? What is it? What happens? Why does growth stop? He said, the Bible in 2 Timothy says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unfaithful, unholy. The day that we're living in, they've died and they've walked away from God. As Brother Ben would say last Wednesday night, what do they do when they leave the message? They go right back to the world. Why? Because there's nothing to hold them. They can't go. Look, after you've sat in a message church and you've heard this message preached all your life, you're not going to find a church that can feed you. You can try to go to the world outreach. You can try to go to the mega churches. You can go to Church of Christ on the corner. You're not going to find a church that can feed you because you've done been fed more than anything they have. And you'll slide right back into the world. Right back into the world. What is it that the Bible would say? They start a race, but they didn't finish it. They started growing, but then they stopped. Jesus says, we wouldn't have married at all now, but we must grow into the stature of him as he did. Many start the race, but few make it to the finish line. There's been many in this message that started the race. They got caught up in a movement that looked to a man that moved in the word, that moved in the healing campaign. They said, oh, there's something special about this. But where are they today? The message wasn't in them. But where are you today? There's a strong warning in there that if it happened to them, it can happen to you. Jesus tells us in Matthew that if it was possible, it would deceive the very elect. But thank God it's not possible. Why? Because we grew in maturity above that. We're at a place that we're not letting those falling away stop us from going on. We're not letting all of the naysayers stop us from going on. We're not letting all of the critics that wants all of their websites, that wants all of their YouTube, we're not allowing them to stop us from growing into his perfection. And you know, that only makes them matter. I used to tell my kids growing up when somebody would do them wrong, and they said, Daddy, how do you do them back? I said, when you lay down at bed at night, and this may be wrong, y'all forgive me. But when you lay down at bed at night, think about how peaceful you can go to sleep. Think about them tossing and turning because they know what they did to you was wrong. It makes me smile. You know what it makes me want? It makes me want them to repent and make it right before God and grow in his stature. Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. What is it? They get complacent in what they know. Come on. What has message churches around this land done? They've got complacent in what they know, in what their theologians can tell them, in what their preachers can quote them, and they don't study it for themselves anymore. You know, that's a Catholic doctrine. You know, the Catholic priests don't want them to study the Bible to tell them when they're wrong. If there's a church out there that is not wanting their people to listen to the tapes, to go to church, to read their Bible, that's a Catholic doctrine. They're trying to laity hold you down so you can't grow into his likeness. What is it? Allow some soothsayer to convince them that they've all missed out on lives. You know how many people I've talked to that have told me they went and seen a fortune teller or a palm reader? And they tell them, well, you've missed out on life. And then watch them backslide and go live the worldly life. What are we allowing the enemy to trick us and quit growing in him, oh God? Help us to move on in God until our final resting place. 1965, a paradox. Brother Brim said, now the seed falls into that ground and it rots and it brings forth life again. It looks like, and if it ever was going to bring forth life, it would be when it's in its perfect shape. You've seen a seed is a perfect little shape. But when it goes in the ground, it has to bust open.
That's right.
And come apart for life to come out.
Amen.
If life was ever in it, then why wouldn't it just come forth? But put it in the ground and the life springs forth. Why does that all that life and all that around that germ that no man can find? How is it that everything material, come on, around that germ has to die so it can spring forth new life? But everything around it must also die and rot before it can spring forth life. So it is with an individual. As long as there's any human injections, human ideals in the God's germ of life, the Holy Spirit cannot work. You cannot be healed as long as there's just a fraction somewhere that it's not rotten yet. It's got all of the human elements, all of the scientific ideals, all of the days of miracles are past and so-called. All that has to do, not only die, but rot. And then from there grows the germ of life into a new life. That's the only way it can grow. That's the reason we don't get what we ask for. Come on. That's the reason we don't get what we ask for, is we try to take with us so much of our own ideals. And we don't die to him. That's the reason the Lutheran age couldn't advance no further than it did, the Pentecostal and the rest, because they inject a bunch of theologians. They ought to be this way. They ought to be this way. This ought for another day. This was for that. This is, they say, it cannot grow to the perfect image of Christ until every word of God is received into you, and then you become that word. Look, just because we're in Laodicea and we've come out of the Pentecostals and we think we're in a message, that doesn't give us a right yet to claim everything that he's given us. Why? Because he wants us to come up
Amen.
A little higher. He wants us to grow a little more. If I ever get to a place that I don't think I need to grow, somebody shoot me. Because I'm going to start to die. And I ask God not to let me die on his word. One promise. Our promise. What is it? 2 Peter 1 says, whereby are we given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is of this world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. What is it? Well, living in an age that everybody has their own ideal. The Bible says without a prophet, they didn't have a vision. We're living 60, 70 years past the prophet going off the scene. And everybody's got their ideals of how to live this. But there's no ideal that compares to the ideal of God's. There's no ideal that's going to get us in a rapture other than his ideal. And if it's taking you away from the word of God, you must come back to the word of God. What is it? Every church age had to grow. Every church age had to grow another step. You know, Brother Brennan talked several places, and he would talk about the church ages, and he would talk about those that received their Holy Ghost in an age previous, but their lives would take them into the next age. And they would be a layover, they would be a carryover, but they would be judged on what they was born into because they couldn't grow into the fullness of the age they was living in. But there is not another age. There's not going to be another carryover. This is the final day. This is the final age. This is it. This is it. This is over after this. And we have everything we need to come into full maturity.
Yes.
Amen. 1965, God's only provided place of worship. I'll close after this. But when the first little spout of life came forth in the Reformation of Martin Luther, that just shall live by a blessed kosher that a priest does, but by the word of God. You ever noticed, if you ever really look at the church ages, what you'll find is everything going on now, they're just going back to the church ages. They're going back to the old man's ideals. But they shall live, the just shall live by faith. He put in two springs. The corn and the wheat began to grow. Then along came John Wesley and added to that. There was many of others, the Zigwilm and them that come forth and denied the virgin birth. And it just died down. But along came the Methodist, the tassel, the pollen, the missionary day. And they preached sanctification and added to the tassel. See, it was truth for their day. They was growing in truth. And then along came the Pentecost, the shuck so much it would deceive the very elect if possible. He said, look at the real grain of wheat. Open it up. There's no wheat at all. But the life is passing through the shuck. Come on. Now you've noticed every 3 years after a great meeting, what takes place? A denomination. There's 20 years and no denomination. Dear dying lamb, may it never go to that. If I go on in this generation, may the people who believe this message never stand still for a denomination. Look, that's what they're doing. Church, they're doing that all around us. They're settling. What is a denomination? Listen to a man. Listen to a dictator. They're doing it right before us. He says, God will. He says, oh, you'll die right in your track. Remember that the very hour that you mention denomination among you, I don't care how sincere you are. Take man for your leader instead of the Holy Spirit to confirm the word, and that's the hour you die. The genuine seed cannot, because there's nothing left after the seed. It's the same thing that was back at the beginning. It's the bride that fell into the ground to bring forth the corn of wheat again. What is it? It's you and me growing.
Hallelujah.
To maturity. We see them falling away. We see the world falling away. But we can also look in the message and look in the word and see, as it was in the days of Noah, shall it be in the days of today? What is it? Denying the word of the prophet. And they died as the bride was rescued. Musicians, come. We're living in a day that the devil wants to stunt your growth any way that he can. He wants to keep you from moving on. Look, if we can look at the master plan that God laid in place. God allowed Eve to fall in the garden. God allowed, knowing that it would fall and it would take Adam and it would bring into this warfare between Lucifer and him. He knew these things would happen. But you know what? The devil is wise on his part too. And he knows that he's going to lose the battle. He knows that he's going to lose the war. He knows that there's going to be a bride that's going to come to maturity. It's going to step out of here one day. But that ain't stopping him from fighting us every day, every hour of our lives. What is he doing? If he can get you to stunt your growth, if he can get you to slow down, then he thinks he has victory. But you know what? He ain't got no victory in this church.
Amen.
He ain't got no victory in this bride.
Praise God.
Because we're a bride that's growing into maturity. Amen. Stand with us, Brother Mark. You got a song.
Well, I'm pressing on.
Yes.
The upward way. New heights I'm gaining. I'm still praying that I'm overbound. Plant my feet on higher ground. Oh Lord, lift me up
and
let me stand. My faith on heaven's tableland to a higher found. Lord, plant my feet on high.
desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground.
Yes.
Oh Lord, lift me up.
Lift me up, Lord.
Let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland to a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on. Oh, let's sing that together one more time. Oh, Lord, lift me up. Let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland to a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Is that your desire tonight? We don't want to ever stop growing. We want to learn more of Him every day. We want to keep coming back to church and learn a little nugget here, a little bit here. Look, you don't give a kindergarten an algebra test. You let them mature into it. We matured into a day. We shouldn't be fighting over all the little things in the world. We shouldn't be fighting over all the little things that we should be growing past. We should be looking at the Word like we've never looked at it before. Amen. As we sing something again, we'll dismiss the online audience. Remember, church, children's choir, 9:45, Sunday school, 10, church at 11. Be in prayer. Be in prayer for one another. Love for one another. Let's just sing again before we dismiss.
Oh, and I keep falling in love with Him over and over.